Anyway, what my engine I just did miss a truck or a top truck set of time congregation. Now it's not a trail down the open Texas tradition. Today is August 1923, or it is the fourth day of Eve 2027. We will start a second song on this Sabbath day with the sound, second service with the song entitled, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. All the way my Savior leads me, for the path He has beside, and I got His tender mercy, through the light has been my guide. Heavenly peace, divine is comfort, with a faith in Him to dwell. But now, wherever He found me, Joshua dear, with open spell. But now, wherever He found me, Joshua dear, with open spell. All the way my Savior leads me, here's each wife in Calcutta trail. This me great for every child, leads me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul her thirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfectness in His promise, in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, when my flight is dreams of death, this my song to endless ages, Joshua led me all the way. This my song to endless ages, Joshua led me all the way. Let's go into our regular service of the house of the David as the angel of the Yahweh. We're on one time of greetings number 9. And it's about Vicki Hardup. He gave his address Sabbath, October the 5th, 1946. That says, we shall turn to Zechariah, the 12th chapter. The text of our subject is found in the 8th verse. But in order to find the time and the people under which the verse directly speaks, we must begin our study with the first verse of the chapter, Zechariah 12:1. For the burden of the word of the Yahweh the Father, for Israel, saith the Yahweh, which stretches forth the heaven, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of a man within him. There are 2 points in this verse that we must seriously consider. That the burden is the Yahweh's, and number 2, that the burden is for Israel. The Seventh-day Adventist Church. See, Vicki Hollis, he just said the church, but I know that its prophecy is directed toward the Seventh-day Adventist Church, not for the world. Zechariah 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of the trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah, that's the house of David, that's not only the house of David, that's the kingdom of David that has been raised up. Amos 9:12. By Yahshua himself, and against Jerusalem. And from this verse we learn that the Gentile nations are to make a siege not only against Jerusalem, but against Judah also. Now Jerusalem, it represents the capital of Judah. In other words, Jerusalem is where the ministry lived. That's where the priests and the kings all resided in Jerusalem for Mount Zion. But all the laity, just the citizens of the land, they resided in the outlying hill countries of Judea. They were called the laity. So that's the reason why I said, when it says Jerusalem and Judah, it means the priesthood and the people that worship in the temple. Also, yes, against the entire kingdom, church, our people. And at that time, at the time of the siege, Jerusalem will be made a cup of trembling. That means the kingly palace ground, the headquarters for Judah, the lawgiver. I'm going to add that lawgiver to Genesis 49:10 as a prophecy on it. Unto all people, that is, all the people shall fear Jerusalem and tremble before her. Okay, Zechariah 12:3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. For all people, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. So all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. For this siege will not be made only by the nations adjacent unto Jerusalem, but by all the people of the earth, a thing that is made possible only by the communication lines in our day. Thus will Jerusalem be a burdensome stone unto all the people round about, in an endeavor for the combating of their fears, they burden themselves by besieging the city for this evil work. They shall be cut in pieces. Folks, this prophecy is fulfilled even today. What's going on in Jerusalem today? Zechariah 12:4. And that day said to Yahshua, I will smite every horse with the astonishment. Horse means leader, or leadership. And his rider with madness. Okay. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. Okay. So every leader of the people in Jerusalem, he's going to smite them with blindness. Well, check the news today on Israel's news today, Arush Sheba. Check it every day. You'll find out that everyone is wanting to run the government over there. They have a Knesset of 120 people running the government, and about 20 of those are Arab leaders. They're not even supposed to be in the land of Israel, and there they are running the government of Israel. It says, Zechariah 12:4. And that day says to Yahshua, I will smite every horse of the blind. Okay. Though the Yahshua shall smite with the madness, with the astonishment, and with blindness, those who besiege the city, Yet he shall open his eyes upon the house of Judah, the kingdom, I'm going to call it like it is, the kingdom of David, which is synonymous with the kingdom of heaven, which is a synonymous term with the kingdom of Yahshua. All three rolled into one. Zechariah 12:5, and the governors of the Jews shall say in their heart, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, and the Yahshua the host, the Yahweh. After the sinners are taken out from her midst by the judgment work for the living, then will the governors of Judah realize that their strength depends upon the sanity of the saintly inhabitants of the Yahrushim and upon the Yahweh their Father. Then it is that they will indeed be strong. I'll tell you, you can't live without the strength that the Holy Spirit gives you. Without the strength of the, you have no life in it. Without the strength of the Holy Spirit. Let us see what the next verse says about this. In Zechariah 12:6, it says, in that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth, the fire among the wood. Who are the governors of Jerusalem? That's 144,000. They're the prophets, priests, and kings that's sitting upon thrones, and where they sing when they come forth, stand upon Mount Zion with the Lamb. It says in Revelation 14:1. It says they are seen standing with the Lamb upon Mount Zion. Where is Mount Zion? Jerusalem, Israel. And like a torch of fire and a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. So how would you like to be one of those people, saintly people, that has the right to the tree of life? And when it comes time for you to be gathered over to Jerusalem, be a part in the governing body that will gather your brethren from all over the world. Well, be faithful when the message comes to you. Be faithful and measure up, and you will have a part in it. Okay, it says, for it matters not what we think, for Yahweh is to have a strong, faithful people, a very king here described, and Jerusalem is to be inhabited by the holy people, not a sinner among them. Since the antithetical prophet Elijah, now pay attention, there is and Elijah now on the scene in this 12th hour, and he's in Jerusalem at this time of this prophet's fulfillment. So when Abitiala says, now, since the antitypical prophet Elijah, and who is that? Well, that's the role that I play. And I found out here recently that people that's closest to me don't like me referring to myself as this antitypical Elijah. I don't care what they say or what they think. They can go alone if they want to. But I know that Yahweh has given me the message of Elijah. I don't care anything about being called Elijah. I just want people to know that I have the antitypical interpretation of Elijah's message. And what is the main reason to have the antitypical position of Elijah? Is for the restoring all things. So when I can have the inspiration given to me from heaven to give the full interpretation of all these prophecies unfolding and fulfilling, then I get the title of antithetical Elijah. Not only that, but he gives me an additional name. So he says, since the antithetical prophet Elijah, who appears just before the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua. Okay, so now here, this Elijah showed up in 1970 here in a person. Yeshua has yet to show up in a visible person to everyone. Okay, so this message stands. Just before the judgment day for the living finds the Seventh-day Adventist Church overrun by the devil as badly as was the Jewish church in the Yahshua's day. And in the sense, the first fruits are to be rescued one by one. He at first sends fishers to fish them, but to fish them out, and afterwards hunters to hunt them out. Jeremiah 16:16. Thus he gathers them one by one, Isaiah 27:12-13. And so it is today. They are fished by this free literature and are now hunted by men right to their houses, be they in the city, village, or countryside. Now I know this is true because we had this happen to us, our family, out on the farm in 1948. We went and visited a Seventh-day Adventist church in Odessa, Texas. And next thing I know, we had a man coming up our road from Odessa, Texas. He hitchhiked all the way out there about 50 miles. He had a suitcase with his clothes and stuff in it, his Bible and a suit. And he got a ride within a couple of maybe 3 or 4 miles of our house, or maybe even a mile. And they let him off, and he come walking up our road. And he walked up, my mother met him at the door. We got to an old farmhouse out in the middle of a sandy field. And he said, "I'm Glenn Green from Odessa, Texas." My mother said, "Oh, I know who you are. You're one of them old shepherds, right? I know who you are. Well, are you going to invite me in?" And she says, "Yeah, you can come in, but says you can talk until you're blue in the face. And I'll never accept that old rod message." Well, my mother did accept that rod message 22 years later. She did accept it. And she worked it around where she got me to accept it. And that's why I'm here today. Okay, that's right, Sarah said, For the Yeshua also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of the David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. He shall save the tents, the humble dwellings, rather than the houses or palaces of the Jews first. That is, Yasir is to say first the common people, the laity, so that the ministry may not exalt themselves above the laity, that all may learn to give glory unto Yahweh, not unto any man. Since nothing, as these verses of the scriptures predict, has ever taken place in Jerusalem or in any other part of the world, obviously these predictions are yet to meet the fulfillment. And now we are to find out if they are to be fulfilled in our time or later on. Since the work we are now doing is not sponsored by any man, and since Yahweh has led us all the way as definitely as he did the Exodus movement, and making our way inch by inch as Providence directs, and also since we are the only people who have the message of the reestablishment of the house of David. Okay, so this antitypical Elijah, he is given the responsibility for the reestablishing of the house of David, because he has the antitypical David's insignia. And he's the only one that has the right to bear the Elijah's message. There is no escaping the conclusion but that the time for the fulfillment of this prophecy is very close at hand, even at the door, for the reason for which the announcement of these events is now being trumpeted throughout the Advent world. Plainly then, whatever the Yeshua has to say in this chapter is for our learning and for our own special and present needs. It is a communication especially addressed unto us and unsealed at this particular time, so that we may know what the Yahweh would have us do and how to do it, so that quickly all things be restored. Okay, now there's that word restored again. This kingdom of David has got to be restored, the antitypical kingdom of David, which is the same thing as the antitypical kingdom of heaven, which has the prophecy of Daniel 2:44 and 45 to back it up. It says, in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It's an everlasting kingdom, they say. Okay. Or left to other people. Okay. So they will grow, so this kingdom will grow into a mountain and fill the whole earth. So we're at the infancy of this kingdom, folks. Right here, right now. We're just at the mercy seat of it. The mercy seat has been planted. Zechariah 12:8. And that day shall the Yeshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David. Okay. And the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Besides giving us the assurance that Yeshua shall defend his people, inspiration likens them unto David and unto Yahweh. Even the feeble ones shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. What a great and wonderful statement. What a privilege to be likened unto Yahweh himself. Now, in order for one to know what it means to be as a David, one must know what kind of person ancient David was. To begin with, he was a first-rate shepherd. He risked his own life for the sheep. You remember that in order to save the lambs, he courageously went after the lion and the bear and killed them with his bare hand. And to save his nation's independence and Yahweh's great honor, on another occasion he again risked his life by the bravely facing the giant Goliath because of David's faithfulness Yahweh delivered him from the beast and from the giant and made him a king over his people. Now think about it, folks. Think about it. This is going to happen again in the Antipode. We're going to have an Antipode David that's going to do a very similar thing to what David did in the tower. David killing the lion of bear represents killing two classes of people in these last days. The house of David is going to be destroyed. To those that are represented by the bear and the lion. Now keep in mind, the bear and the lion didn't come after the shepherd. The bear and the lion came after his sheep. The shepherd went out and retrieved his sheep and slew the enemy. Well, you're going to find out that your enemy today is the Catholic Church. Okay. And you're going to find out that we have that job to do. Because it says so there in Daniel chapter 7, 18-27. It tells that very story. Just go read it for yourself. So it says, for the faithfulness of a person in little things indicates his faithfulness in greater things also. Faithfulness always brings promotion. So in order to be as a David, one must be as faithful and as dependable and as zealous for the Yahweh's kingdom as was David of old. Now that we might know what it means to be as good, we must study what Yahweh is like. At the outset, he did not only create and abundantly fill the earth with every good thing for his creatures, but he also planted a garden, a home, for the man. Thus he made a model home for all human beings who were to live thereafter. That's the reason I said when we moved down here on this farm that we're on now, which is owned by some Adventists. And I said, the first thing I said, well, the Holy Spirit said that my next move would be down the farm, and that we've got to start raising gardens and anything that we can grow with hard houses and produce our own food. We're going to have it. He taught him to speak and to discern the nature between one beast and another. So name them accordingly. Yahweh endowed man with the knowledge and life in order to make him happy and useful in making the world what it ought to be. Even after the Holy Spirit fell in sin, Yahweh was still interested in them, as he was before, so much so, in fact, that he immediately began to teach them how to redeem themselves and to return to their eternal home. From that day to this, he thus continued to teach the human family. So here we have from the prophet's own mouth, he says that the reason why Adam and Eve were taught to redeem themselves using the animal sacrifice is because they are a type of all of those all down through the ages of 6,000 years that are to be redeemed and saved. They've got to learn how to redeem themselves through obedience to all the statutes and judgments and so forth. Because right there, Moses says right there in Deuteronomy, he says in Deuteronomy 6:24 and 25, he says this is our righteousness. If we observe the Lord that he has commanded us this day, he said, this is our righteousness. Deuteronomy 6:24, and the Yahshua commanded, and the Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Yahweh, our Father, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. So he's given a twofold prophecy here. He says, we are to be obedient to these statutes and judgments so that we can be preserved alive, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Yahshua as he has commanded us. Now you want to have righteousness? You want to be declared a righteous person and not a sinner? Now all the Adventists can admit to being is, I'm just a blood, I'm just a sinner. That's all I'll ever be. Okay. So that's no good. So I thought I'd interject that right there from the Bible. It says, to do this saving work, Yahweh sent down the Spirit of the truth. He sent prophets and angels, also his only Son, all teachers of redemption. He himself descended to Sinai, Yahweh the Father. He even came down. And he brought the sanctuary down. And even though they slew nearly all his servants, including his son, yet his unfailing interest in the human race has continued on until this very day, notwithstanding our truth, our fault, his promise to take us back into Eden, there to live with him if we repent, still stands as sure as does the sun. Now you see what the Yahweh is like. And if we are to be as the Yahweh, then that is what we too must be like. That means that we must be as interested in one another and in the upbuilding of his kingdom as he is interested. We are to be as unselfish as he is. We must gladly teach others all that he has taught us. We are to do all we can to improve the living conditions of others. We are to make the world better than it should be if we were not in it. In the creation week, Yahweh did his part. Now we are to do our part of the creation if we are to be as Yahweh. Whatever good thing we may have, be it a trade or some other gift that is worth having, we are to be as faithful in it and as anxious to teach it unto others as he is faithful and anxious to teach us. If we neglect this duty, we shall not only fail to be as a Yahweh, but shall even be required to give account of our neglect. All through my life, I have found people very selfish and fearful that someone would get ahead of them in our work and duty, and now may, as clear as they can, be made at this time, particular time, at this particular time. We need not therefore err, need not be ignorant of what is to be done and how it is to be. Many honestly believe that they are doing Yahweh's work, or at least helping in it. But if they will examine their daily accomplishments, their motives... Okay, let's review. All through my life, I have found people very selfish and fearful that someone would get ahead of them in one way or another. When I was learning my trade, I often found it necessary to ask questions, the son with whom I was working evaded my question. The selfishness, nevertheless, did not stop me from learning what I wanted to know. I learned it some other way. Those men, however, did profess to be so far advanced in the Christian living as we profess to be, and for this reason, the jealousy and selfishness can be charged only on the ignorant. That we who know better should try to pass on our knowledge unto as many as possible, expecting nothing in return but their success in life. For Yahweh himself will reward us that we will try to keep our knowledge to ourselves. And we most assuredly shall be losers. Remember too that whatever good we may possess is a gift from Yahweh. Right here, the age-old saying, this not. There is no limit to the good one can do if he does not share who gets the credit. For the Yahshua, or Yahweh the Father, taught the birds how to live and how to build nests and how to raise their young. Then, should we not help others to build and to better their homes and living? For you recall that says, whosoever shall give the drink unto one of these little ones a cup of the cold water only in the name of a disciple, really I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That's the 10:42. Where Yahweh not what he is, he would not be Yahweh. And if we continue as we ever were, we shall never be as Yahweh. For the house of Yahweh will over it to be as the angel of the Yahweh before them. What does this statement mean? It means that if we are to be members of the house of the David, we must be as the David, as the Yahweh, and as the angels too. For the angels excel in the strength. They obey Yahweh's commandments. They hearken unto the voice of his word. Psalms 103:20. For they are always at hand to minister unto the saints, and they have led them safely over every conflict throughout the ages. And Yahweh expects his church and people to be just one, just that, as the angel of Yahweh regardeth what we as individuals choose to be. Yahweh nevertheless will have a church that will be all these. Now, what is the overall purpose of the house of David? For the house of David, the scriptures reveal, is being built up for a threefold purpose. We are in possession of this house, and Yahshua started building his house in 2002 with Elijah David. That's the word that's speaking to you right now. Number one, during the ingathering of the people, it is to build the old waste places. Yahweh raised me up in 1970, and he gave me a portion of the vineyard to work in, a vineyard of Israel. And I was in Fort Worth and Dallas. And at that time, in 1970, they had about 17 churches in the suburban around Dallas and Fort Worth. And I visited all of them, plus I reached out even further several hundred miles around the churches. And so now he's 53 years later, he brought me to another part of the building. He says, during the end getting of the people, it is to build the old waste people. Old waste. So now we have started the end getting. We're in a position now, we just need a big pillar where we can have a church leader to raise up the former desolation and to repair the waste city, the desolations of many generations, Isaiah 61:4. For this work of rebuilding and restoring has as the tithe the rebuilding of the ancient Jerusalem. Now the ancient Jews returned from their Babylonian captivity unto the land of their fathers, just as they were to build their waste, their former desolation, the temple of the Yahshua, the Son. That's the tabernacle of David, the only the city and the walls. And to restore the worship of the Yahweh. And what's the worship? The restoring of the whole law. James 2:10. Who serves to keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, guilty of all. You'll find the whole law in Leviticus 23, 44 verses. Okay. For the former desolation, the temple of the Yahshua, the city and the walls, and to restore the worship of the Yahweh according unto the Yahweh's own divine will. So we too now in the antithetical and gathering are called to do a singular work, only much greater, both in the scope and in the proportion. We must therefore labor even more incessantly than they labor, and be happy and thankful for having been privileged to have a part in such a great and glorious work. Number two, in addition to this great and grand work, while in his Yahweh's hands as a battle axe, Jeremiah 51:20, he is to with it to break the Gentiles' yoke, which now rests upon the shoulders of Yahweh's people. With he is to emancipate his people from the Gentile rule, from the Assyria. Okay, and from Egypt, and from Petros, and from Kush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. With it he is to set up an ensign for the nations, and to assemble the outcasts of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11:12. To get this work done, we are to be at first the many fishers, then the many hunters. Jeremiah 16:16. Thus it is that first fruits are to be gathered one by one. Okay, there it is. Isaiah 27:12. We are now in the hunting day, going from city to city, from village to village, and from door to door, a thing which has never before been done. Besides fishing and hunting, he also ought to make a highway for the many of his people, which shall be led after the first fruits are gathered from Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:16. After this hunting is over, and the highway built up, then it is that the second fruit will flow unto the mountain of the Yahweh's house. And what's the mountain of the Yahweh's house? That's the house of David. That's the That's that little stone hewn out of the mountain with our hands that strikes the image on the feet and grows into a mountain and fills the whole earth. Daniel 2, 44 and 45. One nation, as it were, will say unto another nation, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, and unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob. Let's do that again. Come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahshua, the Son. And that's the mountain of the house of the Father Yahweh and of Jacob. And this Jacob, when it says, and of the Jacob, it's talking about the antitypical kingdom of David. Jacob had a son named Judah. Judah is the lawgiver that's in charge of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the Lord shall go forth to the Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, Micah 4, 2. So when Yahshua says he will teach us of his ways, or when Zechariah says he will teach us of his ways, we have the King James, John 14, 6. Yahshua says unto the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Walk ye in my ways. And it says, thus our work is also, as is taught, the Exodus movement, going out of Egypt, establishing itself in the promised land as they were freed from their Egyptian bondage. So we shall be freed from the world's yoke. And just as they possess the land and set up the kingdom, we shall, so shall we make them, so shall we, if we make their mistakes or stepping stone to success. Finally, we are to hasten the coming of the day of the Yahweh. Let's do that again. Number 3, finally, this house of David that we are in possession of right now, in charge of, finally, we are to hasten the coming of the day of the Yahshua. This is David when he comes back the second time. For in the heaven, then on the fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. We are to bring the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Now isn't this something? This house of David is to sit up and become perfectly perfect. Says we, house of David, during the 12th prophetic hour, judgment of living, we are to bring the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. 2 Peter 3, 12 and 13. But there's no way that I would consider that I would be strong enough and big enough to bring this new heaven. But Yahshua coming and sitting upon the throne of David and fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8, where it says, unto us the Son is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, it says in Isaiah 9:6. And says, he's going to be called a wonderful counselor of the mighty Yahweh, the everlasting Father, and Yahshua is the Prince of Peace. Okay. We are to bring the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, 2 Peter 3, 12 and 13. And now here Peter says, he's saying in the present tense, and then said, Peter says, we are to bring these new heavens. But Peter didn't live to see the new heavens come to him. But he's going to be resurrected in this, when this new heavens come. He's going to be sitting down in with us. For another phase of this work, we also have the flood as a type. As the Noah's preaching brought the world to an end in his day, so our preaching will bring the world to an end in our day. As the faithful of the first day found refuge in Noah's Ark, so the faithful of the day shall find refuge in the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of David, church purified. Here, forecast for the work of these three movements, Zechariah, Moses, and Noah, therefore typify every phase of our work. Here is clearly seen that our Yahweh-given work does not consist of the preaching alone, but of the manual work too. There are thousands in the world who are as anxious to preach as are the bearers to fill up their stomach. Coming out of their winter habitation, that there are few who will put their shoulders to the wheel and keep on pushing. Well, I'll tell you what, I put my shoulders to the wheel in 1970, and I don't see no reason to stop pushing, but even today. What the world needs today is not preaching, but teachers who can teach with one hand and use the pick or the shovel with the other hand. Neither is the world in need of men angling for the Moses and for the errands of it. But it is in the need of men who can take orders and successfully carry them through. Men who dare face the giant, the lion, and the bear. Men who dare to be heroes for the other. Men wondered at. Men with the unfailing faith and unlimited patience, believing that Yahweh himself is steering the ship and that therefore there can be no failure. For the world surely needs men like Noah, Moses, David, Ezra, Nehemiah, and a great number of Job. For our work and duty are now made as clear as they can be made at this particular time. For we need not therefore err, need not be ignorant of what is to be done and how it is to be done. Many honestly believe that they are doing Yahweh's work, or at least helping in it. But if they will examine their daily accomplishment, their motives, their aims and purposes, some will find that they are not working for the Yahweh, but that they are either killing time or working for the self. Actually, now, as in the Moses' time, there are occasions when one is at a loss to know whether saints or devils are busily engaged in Yahweh's great work. Stop, listen, think, check up on yourself. It will be well worth your time and your energy. Find out who you are, what you are, and where you are. For Ezra and Nehemiah had an arduous time in the building of the ancient waste places. I believe that the Yahweh could have put angels to keep away their enemies from interfering with their project, but he chose to have the faithful bearers hold the sword in one hand and the bricks in the other hand. Nehemiah 4:17. 18. Their work was as hard, if not harder, than ours is. But they were faithful at it, and we cannot afford to be any less faithful. Yes, they did much working, as they did teaching. They taught not only religion, but building too. Do you not see that as the types point out, the things we are called to do cannot be done by the teaching alone? We are now ready to read Zechariah 12:9-10. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of the David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of the supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in the bitterness for him as one that is in the bitterness for his firstborn. And when the Yahweh begins to destroy the nation, he will pour upon his saints the spirit of grace. Then will they really mourn for the sin against the Yeshua, that's the Son. For it is because men do not now have the spirit that their personal feelings are so easily hurt. But any little thing done against them, and since the spirit of grace causes one to mourn not for himself, it is understandable that to pity oneself and to be hurt over what others do or say against him is a sure sign that rather than being imbued with the spirit of the grace, he is imbued with the spirit of the devil, who is daily seeking to discourage and dishearten by pitying self. Remember, that self-pity is outright self-defeat. Not one of us has ever been abused as much as Yeshua, and yet self in him never was hurt. If we are to be sorry for anyone, let us not be sorry for the self. We sometimes think we are sorry for our sinning and are causing Yahshua to be abused and crucified. But our sorrow is not real. It is only theoretical. When this spirit of the grace is poured upon us, then shall we fully realize that it was not the Jews, but the sins of all of us that crucified the Yahshua. So that's a huge, huge mistake that for Beecher Hall to have written that statement there. Because he should know better, because I wasn't living back then when Yahshua was crucified. I was not living. I wasn't there to have any sins on record that would help crucify him. Besides, there was a lot of people there that was on Yahshua's side. It was the Romans and the Pharisees that ganged up on Yahshua and crucified him. It wasn't my sin that crucified him. It was Pharaoh and the Pharisees. Call it like it is. And then we would count it a privilege to be abused for Yahshua itself. Now, that's a long statement. My sins didn't crucify Yahshua. I didn't have no sins. I wasn't even living back then. How could my sins crucify him? That's Rob 12:11-14. And that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as a mourning of the head of Ramah in the valley of the Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of the David apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of the Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of the Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of the Shimei apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. For a great day is coming, brother and sister. If that day was not right at hand, we would not today have a light cast on our pathway. That is therefore work for the upbearing of the Yahshua's kingdom, that we, since we're in possession of this kingdom, then we are, this is the prophecy commanding us to lead out and building up this temple. It says, let us therefore work for the upbuilding of Yahshua's kingdom, that his will be done in us, and thus at long last be done on the earth as it is done in heaven. As forerunners of his kingdom, let us do all we can to prove worthy of standing with him on the Mount Sinai, to be as Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before the saints, to carry the everlasting gospel, same thing as the preacher of the Father of salvation, to the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua unto all nations, as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Unto all nations, and that's to bring the world's sins and woes to an end. Okay. Well, that's perfect timing. This brings in about this our contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song. Turn it to Yahshua.
Tell it to Yahshua, tell it to Yahshua, are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Yahshua, oh Lord. Tell it to Yahshua, tell it to Yahshua, he is the thing that you know. You have no other such friend or brother, tell it to Yahshua, oh Lord. If the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden, tell it to Yahshua, tell it to Yahshua. Have you seen that the man's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Yahshua, oh Lord. Tell it to Yahshua, tell it to Yahshua, he is the friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother, tell it to Yahshua alone. If you feel the deadly clouds of sorrow, tell it to Yahshua. Tell it to Yahshua, all you anxious to shall be tomorrow. Tell it to Yahshua, oh Lord. Tell it to Yahshua, tell it to Yahshua, he is the friend that you know. You have no other but the friend of God. Tell it to Yahshua, oh Lord. As you travel at the thought of dying, tell it to Yahshua, tell it to Yahshua. For Yahshua someday you sign, tell it to Yahshua, oh Lord. Tell it to Yahshua, tell it to Yahshua, he is the friend that's for now. You have no other but the friend of brother, tell it to Yahshua, oh Lord.